These are stories of women, mothers, and enterprises filled with grit, gumption, and overcoming. Where in the midst of adversity, we see her rise up. She makes a choice. She chooses to emerge. I'm your host, Becca Erickson. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the month of February. We are covering all things constructive parenting. So as you know, all of this first portion of 2019, we're covering the core values of Emerge Mothers Academy. So we covered personal development in January, and now here in February, we are on to constructive parenting. So what better way to usher in this month than parenting blogger, Twin Cities mom, doula, mom of twins, by the way, Stephanie Sinclair. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy that you're finally sitting down here with me. We found the perfect month to have you come, and we'll get into How to Mom. So the number two, How to Mom, is her blog, and you guys will just enjoy today hearing funny stories, a little bit of bad advice given, good advice given, and just the general transition into motherhood. And how we all get slapped in the face with it.
Yep, almost every day, right?
So rewind the clock for us. 5 to 6 years ago, you know, prior to having any children, give us the last 6 years of the Stephanie story.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because I always knew that I wanted to be a mom. I just knew it was in the cards for me. I knew that would be my biggest calling. But fast forward to after our wedding, and it was not so easy for us. Okay. And so we went through about a year and a half and 3 IUI treatments to get pregnant with my first. Mm. And I think I was just so focused and invested on getting pregnant that I almost didn't take time to prepare for motherhood and what that actually looks like, which maybe was a good thing at first. I think I was so excited about the thought of getting pregnant. And then when it didn't happen, kind of devastation set in. And I felt really lost. And I think maybe throughout that process, I lost myself. It was so consuming. It was just everything. And I was at that age where so many of my friends were getting pregnant. And so we luckily have a success story, which is amazing. But when I was pregnant with Mackenzie, you have all of those fun things like baby showers, and you get to talk about the excitement that's to come. But sometimes what gets missed is it's those hard conversations of what do I do when I haven't slept in 3 days? Or what if I feel really overwhelmed by motherhood? Where do I turn? What do I do in those situations? And so I was very happy to take home my beautiful little girl, Mackenzie, 5.5 years ago. But motherhood kind of played a trick on me. I think I was shocked that I was so overwhelmed and that it was so difficult because I just had always envisioned being a mother and I had nannied. I just thought I was really kind of prepared for it. And so I grew just this huge heart for moms everywhere that it's not easy. It's really difficult to be a mom. And so I really just jumped in to being Mackenzie's mom. And I think there was a lot of good that came from that. But also, I did kind of lose myself through that process.
Right. You lose yourself in infertility.
Yes.
Then you lose yourself in really not being prepared for challenges and then trying to overcome them by being the greatest mom.
And try to be perfect.
It's this whole like psych story.
It is.
It psychs you out 18 times.
It does. And there's so many layers to motherhood that you just really can't quite prepare for until you're in it. And so that was just very humbling. And that's kind of when I fell in love with not only birth and just kind of having a really soft spot for all moms, whether it's fertility that they're dealing with, or maybe they, you know, have a really tough sleeper at those beginning stages. And it's really easy to tell somebody that we understand and that we know how hard it is, but to actually walk with them through it is a whole nother, whole nother layer of kind of providing support, which is where kind of How to Mom started.
And probably the doula stuff, right? You kind of are mixing both of your loves for true empathy in the experience. All of us are transitioning into motherhood in these really like layered.
Yes. So many layers.
Crazy ways.
Yes. And so I did. I went through birth doula training in 2015 and started serving families right after that. And of course had a love for birth. But within that grew just this big love for moms. Mm-hmm. And then when Mackenzie was three, we decided that we wanted to try and grow our family again. Mm-hmm. Started treatment. We were very lucky this time because it worked the first month of treatment.
Crazy.
And we got twins.
So you knew you had to do treatment again.
I did.
Whatever was figured out the first time, they knew that there was...
Okay. Yeah, there was a little bit of hope that maybe things would be different, but my body just didn't take to that. And so it was just a procedure that we knew we had to follow with just hormone injections and an IUI. You know, I kind of joke, this hopefully is not inappropriate, but I always laugh that my husband wasn't even with me when I got pregnant with twins. That's how good I am.
Isn't that terrible? Oh, aren't we just...
I mean, he was with me, but he just wasn't physically with me.
You know.
It was an amazing experience because I had started How To Mom and I had started serving families, and I thought I had kind of figured some things out in the world of parenting. And then I feel like life just made me dig even deeper when I found out I was having twins. And now looking back, there's so many blessings in it, but I also think a huge blessing was I get to relate with more moms now.
Yes.
And I get to understand even more of the layers that kind of come along with parenting, parenting multiples, and parenting more than one kid under your household.
Right. I mean, you hit a checklist that, you know, many people won't hit multiple categories. Infertility, then your first daughter, well, then boy girl twins, that, you know, it's like, yay, now
I know,
you have a full catalog.
It was incredible. And that happened with my birth stories as well. I've had three very different births, and we were just chatting before that, fun fact, my twins have different birthdays, and a lot of people assume that it's because they were born right around midnight, but my son was actually born at 9/11, and that was an unmedicated vaginal birth.
Huh.
And then my daughter had different plans, and she said she wanted her own day, so she made me wait an additional 3.5 hours, and then she was born via emergency C-section.
Right, because they were like, this is getting to be too long.
It was her time. She said she had enough. My doctor was so amazing. He never took his eyes off of the heart rate monitor. And my, yes.
Yeah, you have to when you're contracting and you've delivered one.
Yes. And all I wanted to do was get up and move because she was sunny side up, we found out. And so I had really intense back labor. But apparently when you've delivered one baby, you can't just get up and move. So,
you know.
Yeah. So I was kind of stuck in that position. And the first couple weeks, that was kind of a hard story for me to accept just because it wasn't in my birth plan. But again, I think it humbled me in a way to understand what other moms go through when they have a birth that isn't what they envision. But the difference is, and what I want to do through my birth doula practice is, I can't change the way a birth story goes, but what I can do is I can enhance their experience. So instead of things happening to them, things happen with them. And so my doctor had explained to me what that might look like if I chose the options that I chose. And so I wasn't surprised by any of it. I wasn't taken back, and I didn't feel like anything was taken from me.
Right.
It was just my daughter's story.
Right. And you got to make the choices.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then obviously bringing home my twins was something that I, again, could not have planned for or prepared
for. Gives you some grace for parents, right? All of a sudden you're like, oh, I guess I should have had that chip taken off my shoulder.
So much grace. And I talk about that so much at speaking engagements and just with clients and friends. It just has humbled me. Motherhood has humbled me in the best way. And I think it just goes to show that we have so much good we can do with talking about the hard things and sharing our stories. Because I think one thing that we do in motherhood a lot is, say we have all good sleepers, and you're like, I just don't get why that mom is so tired all the time, or why is she so forgetful, or how come she, you know, can't get it together. And then all of a sudden you bring home a baby who's not a good sleeper, and you're like, I can't believe I ever thought those things.
Sure.
I just did a post about this the other day about harnesses and leashes for children. I remember I thought I would never.
Same. The backpack leash. I was like, I would never.
Yeah, I just thought it was this really negative thing, and what's the matter? And I was actually at the state fair this summer, and I got off the roller coaster with Mackenzie, and a mom just caught my eye, and she looked frantic, but I didn't want to like assume and just run up to her right away and kind of stick my nose and something that wasn't my business, but something in my heart just pulled me to her. And I ran over and I said, "Are you okay?" And she was yelling, and her daughter's name was Charlie. And so I kind of assumed maybe she was yelling for her husband. And I ran over and I said, "Is everything okay?" And she said, "No, I can't find my daughter. My three-year-old daughter is gone." And she had an infant in her front carrier, and she had probably about a five-year-old. And so I could tell she
heart starts breaking.
It was just that instant terror that I saw in her eyes. And I said, "What does she look like?" And she told me, and I think I like really briefly looked at my husband and said, "I'll be right back," because I had three kids too to look over. And I was running around, and we were at the Midway, the kids' Midway. So it was really busy. It was the last day of the state fair. And I found her little girl and I ran her over to her mom, and she just embraced her. And every mom that was in that circle just started bawling. And it was just like, we just need to come together because we're stronger together than kind of judging. Yeah. So long story short, I bought my twins' leashes on Amazon right after I left the state fair. Because I just said, I never want to feel that as a mom.
And she's not a bad mom.
No, not at all. And it was just, you know, kind of that gut check of, I remember thinking, who would need a leash? And now I'm thinking my safety of my twins, it means way more than me judging myself about having a leash for my kids.
No kidding. I've gone on to this like pilgrimage in any, looking at any mom and being like, there's no such thing as your kids. They're our kids. All of these kids are our kids. Like, I pushed a mom's kid out of the stroller, out of the library for her. I have helped moms in Target. I have looked at moms and been like, I'm going to scare him toward you, you know, and they're like, thank you.
Yes.
Like, there should be this common language of there's no such thing as mom shaming. There is only our kids.
Absolutely. And those little gestures throughout the day that can make that mom's whole day.
And then she'll probably pass it forward.
And she probably will. Or if anything, she goes home and she feels like somebody else understands. And that's so much what I try and talk about in my blogs and on social media, is just nobody's alone in this. And it really does take a village. And when you have felt overwhelmed by motherhood, or maybe that it was this big adjustment and you're kind of not talking about that, so then you assume that everybody else, it just comes natural. Exactly. And that can make us feel really low. And so I really like to just put my story out there, even though sometimes it's a mess. But my hope is it touches one other mom and helps her through the journey of motherhood.
And I totally think you do that.
Thank you.
Like, you do that well. You level the playing field to be like, whatever I thought I knew 6 years ago, I clearly don't. Here's what I do well. Here's what I don't do. Or here's what we're all not doing well.
Right. Right. And where we can all come together a little bit.
Thank goodness. Like, let's talk like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I loved the day. So congratulations, by the way, on a Twin Cities Collective Award.
Thank you so much.
Parenting blogger category. I loved the day after you got that award. Like, that day was your day. Like, the lashes were on point. The award was in hand. You went home after partying. And then the next morning, you're like, here I am in my robe. And I was like, yes. Stephanie Sinclair, this is amazing. You know,
thank you. Yeah, it's those moments where we're thinking, I can't believe I'm going to put add to story. And then I'm like, these are the stories that I need to put up, because I want moms to know we're all just trying to get through the day.
Totally.
And we're all just trying to do our best. And I think if we can look at other parents and know we're just all trying to do our best, life would just be a lot easier. Where we're not feeling like people are kind of looking at us and judging and wondering why we're making decisions and choices.
Exactly.
Rather, if you are kind of curious as to why a parent is making a decision or choice, ask them. Most likely they're going to be excited to share their story with you, and it might leave you a lot more educated than when you walked into that room.
Or maybe they don't know why either. It's just generational.
And very true.
They don't know any other way.
Right.
Or perhaps they have taken a very conscientious decision to parent that way, and you need a new perspective, like you're talking about.
Oh my gosh. Perception is everything in life, but specifically in parenthood. And that was just the big idea behind How To Mom, is just to create this community, even if it's just online. And it really came full circle for me, because after Mackenzie, I felt there was a need for it. And so I put it out there and I started this community. And I felt like if I could add value to parents' lives, then I was doing something. And then when I had my twins and I was home and I was overwhelmed and there were sad moments and there were really hard days, I got online and I reached out to the How to Mom community. And it was so amazing to see this full circle of something that I created all of a sudden was something that I really truly needed.
Right.
And so it really showed me that there's a value here and this community is needed. And I just was so happy that all these moms were there for me.
Right. Tell us all just some like practical ideas for bringing home a second baby. Mm-hmm. Like what are some ideas to make that transition better for the oldest child?
Yeah.
Like how did Mackenzie do?
That was a huge journey. I have been very lucky with Mackenzie just being a very empathetic and caring motherly type child. So that has been, I can't take credit for that. That is just who she is.
Yeah.
However, it all kind of started the day that I went in for my induction with my twins. You know, you have so much adrenaline going and you know that you're welcoming more babies into your world that you kind of just get consumed in that.
Right.
But there was a moment that I was at the hospital and I couldn't stop thinking about Mackenzie. And this is what I talk to a lot of moms about. And it's an emotional topic. And I just kept thinking, the next time I see her, everything's going to be different. Yeah. And that was overwhelming. And I actually called my parents and asked them to bring her up. I just felt this need. I needed to see her. And I was going through an induction. So I was hooked up to Pitocin and we were doing a lot of different exercises and trying to get things going.
You were dueling yourself.
I was dueling. Yeah. And I had an amazing birth doula there with us too, who helped. Yes. And my husband's been very incredible with just being very open to learning about the birth process because obviously he has a wife who's a little obsessed.
He has no choice. Yeah.
Yeah. And my daughter came up and it was this overwhelming rush of emotions and it just got my oxytocin going and I went into full-blown labor as I was snuggling, hugging, and kissing my daughter. It was an incredible thing to witness.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And what I just tried
the
to do.
The human body is, I'm sorry, but like, whoa, we need to just pause there.
I know.
Because my leg hair is standing up.
I know.
The human body is unreal. Mm-hmm. That there's that's almost medical proof that the bonding between you and her is releasing more oxytocin, which pushed labor. Like
absolutely.
You cannot. This is proof.
I know it was incredible. And I have pictures. And so that is a blog that will be coming. It's taken me a long time to put that one together because it's so personal. But you can see in the pictures just the emotions. She is what put me into full-blown labor. And so it was just a moment that I'll never forget with her. And then when I brought the twins home, I just gave her time to be emotional.
Her way. Yeah.
And I remember there was a moment, they were about 2 weeks old, and it was the first time she was kind of showing some behavioral issues. I was nursing a lot, obviously, because I had two babies. And I just saw her face get really upset and she went running to her room. And I could have been upset with her because I think she was like not listening or talking back or acting out. And she ran into her room and I realized she is starving for my attention right now. And so I asked my sister-in-law who was with me that day. I said, can you just take the twins and be with them? And I went into the room and she was crying. And I hugged her and I started crying. And she looked at me and she said, why are you crying? And I said, because it's really hard. I said, don't you think this is really hard? And she said, it's so hard. And I said, I know it's hard for me too. And we just had a moment and I think that's all she needed.
Yeah.
She just needed me to embrace her. And I think it's okay to show our kids that we're just human and we're just trying our best.
I agree. I think it takes down enemy lines and it puts you guys on the same side.
Yes.
You know, like, guys, we're all fighting the same. Mm-hmm. I've been saying this to my middle son lately because he stands his ground. I'm trying to say this positively.
Yeah,
that's my New Year's resolution. Not say things negatively about who he is. He stands his ground. He doesn't give up. He perseveres. Mm-hmm. I'll use those words.
Yeah.
The other 5 years, I wouldn't use those words. But I tell him a lot. There'll be many enemies that you fight, but your mom isn't one of them.
Totally.
And I think when he sees that we're on the same side, when you're hurt, I am hurt. Mm-hmm. Not when you're hurt, you should fight against me. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think our kids need to see us vulnerable, emotional, because empathy starts digging a deeper hole together where it's like, yeah, Mackenzie, this is so hard for you and it's so hard for mom. Mm-hmm. You have no idea how much I love you. I love you so much oxytocin made me have your brother and sister. Exactly. And now I don't even get to have with you what we used to have.
Right.
Like, it's hard. When
it's
for
a
everyone.
Family, it's a family thing, right? Versus kind of feeling like, okay, mom's with baby, you know, now, you know, spend time with dad. We tried to make it, it was a family transition. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, I know not everybody's going to have two babies at home, but a lot of times I would include her. So if it was time to change a diaper, it was like, Mackenzie, go get your doll. Everybody needs to be changed. And then all of a sudden it wasn't like, wait, wait, wait. It was like, come and do this with me.
Right.
And she's just been very involved in the entire process of kind of this adjustment with twins. And her brother and sister love her so much. They want to do everything Mackenzie does. Mm-hmm. And I tell her a lot, like, that's so incredible. That's how much they love you. They want to do everything
right.
you're
They're emulating
doing.
Everything you do.
And then I kind of use that in constructive ways as well of if she's, you know, jumping on the couch when she's not supposed to. I say, remember how much your brother and sister look up to you. If they see you jumping on the couch, they're going to think they can jump on the couch. And I can't protect them. They're only two, you know, or they're almost two. Mm. You know what safety is. They don't quite know that yet. And so I just try to work with her in it versus kind of feeling like them versus her.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Mm. But it's been... It hasn't been easy, and it's been a journey, and I think it's one that we all should be sharing because if we can learn from one another.
Which is the whole reason you have the blog. Is there a Facebook online community too then?
Yep. So I have a page on Facebook, and then my Instagram, both are How To Mom. And then of course I have my website, which is howtomom.com. And it also shows just all my services, whether it be for pregnancy support, birth support, or just postpartum and motherhood. And just kind of letting moms know that I want them to be a part of this community and I want them to share as well and just kind of be together in all of it. But then also having the services so that people can get tangible help. And the blog really started after I had the twins because I couldn't physically be at as many births or with families as I'd like. I just had to brainstorm and think, how can I continue to reach these families in a way that I can do, you know, from home with my kids. And I just started sharing my story and different tips and tricks that I've learned along the way. And it's been really fun.
That's so awesome. So I don't know if it was the twins or even a day in the infertility prior to Mackenzie, but can you take us to one of those lows where you're like, who the heck is Stephanie anymore? Just that dark rock bottom place where it's like, I don't even know if I have a purpose here anymore. Mm-hmm. What got you through that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think from an emotional standpoint, it was talking about it, letting people know what I was going through. And you're not going to get the response from everyone that you're looking for. And that's just a lesson to be learned. Not everybody is going to understand your story. And those people can be people that are really close to you in your life. And that's why it's important to find the right support for the season of life that you're in. And those people might be different than who you expect them to be. I have amazing friends. I have amazing family, but it's been great to reach out to like the twin community in moments of, oh my goodness, am I crazy for experiencing this? So of course, support and community is huge on the emotional side, but on more of like the tangible tips and tricks of what got me through, it was trying to be the best version of myself. And I know that can sound cliche, but like being really healthy, loving myself, appreciating my body and why it's different, and giving myself grace with different hormones that are happening, or maybe feeling just really sad one day and saying to my husband, I don't know why, but I'm frustrated or I'm sad. And just feeling like there's room for that, or having the people that say, I understand, I'm sure it's really hard, and also giving you encouragement that tomorrow's a new day. But I have systems at my house, and it's been kind of fun. I've done a lot of decluttering, and some people don't quite understand that, but for me, it decreased my stress level. I need to wake up in the morning and feel like I have a clean slate, that I'm not kind of trying to get through the mess and the chaos, because then I get in a really bad mood and then that affects my parenting. So I have systems like I do a load of laundry every day. I unload my dishwasher every day, and it just makes you feel really good, right? It makes you feel like even if the kids are woke up on the wrong side of the bed or if I'm really tired, at least kind of the systems are moving and it gives me time to kind of catch up. And so, yeah, it's just community, kind of having things that make you feel good and not feeling bad about them, just being true to who you are and kind of figuring out what helps you, what makes you feel better and what encourages you to be the best parent. And if that's taking time for self-care or seeing your friends or whatever that looks like, just not feeling guilty about it, because a happy and healthy mom helps a happy and healthy house. You're a better wife. You're mom if you're taken care of and your cup is filled. And we hear that a lot, but actually getting ideas of how you can do that, I feel like helps a lot.
I love that. I love that. Right. And just to say, you know, if you think, oh, I can't do this, you need to say, I am doing it.
You are doing it. Absolutely.
This is what we say to our emerge moms all the time. Like, this is too much and I can't do it. And I'll say, whoa, you are doing it.
It's so true.
Keep going.
And that's why I really try and form these relationships with families when they're first expecting, because there's so many lessons to be learned about parenthood, even when you're pregnant or like when you're in labor. Almost every mom has looked at me and said, I can't do this. And that's the thing. Some of these small phrases, sometimes we think, oh, is that even adding value? But it's the small phrases in motherhood parenting that you can say to somebody and they're like, you're right.
Becomes their banner.
It does.
Thank you for taking us through kind of that low of self-care and knowing what you need and creating systems for yourself. Those are great ideas. Stephanie, I know you said people could find you on the Facebook. You had a YouTube channel and then howtomom.com, the number 2.
Yes.
What's on the forecast? What's coming up for you?
Yeah. Well, personally, I'm really excited. I'm taking my kids to Disneyland.
Oh my
gosh. Of course, that's a big thing in the house right now. But
that's why you got the leashes.
Yeah, exactly.
Leashes.
They were on pre-order. So very excited about that. But also, I'm really excited to be launching an agency within How To Mom. Because I'm not able to attend as many births as I would like to, I'm bringing on doulas to reach more families. I'm also really excited about launching a directory. A lot of what I do is networking and, of course, referrals. And so letting businesses kind of come to one place so that all of my clients and mothers, there's this huge trust within our community. They know that I only talked about and give advice on things that I actually love and that I use and implement in my life. And so it's really fun to be able to bring that in one place for them. And then also, I mean, I have really great big goals in 2019. One would be starting a podcast. I love to chat and hear stories and share stories. So I think that would be really fun as well. I also have a 12-week course, a digital course that I'm going to be launching here in 2019, just helping moms, helping parents throughout the entire process, but something that's a little bit more convenient where they can just watch from their own home on their couch or from their computer and just feeling like they have support and actual tips and tricks to help them through parenting.
Wonderful. And that'll go through the website then also.
Yep, everything will be launched through the website and on social media, both Facebook and Instagram.
And it's all How To Mom.
Yep, exactly.
Okay? Awesome. Stephanie Sinclair, thank you so much for being in studio with us. And I certainly hope everyone gains something about constructive parenting today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was very exciting.
Thank you. This podcast is sponsored by Emerge Mothers Academy, a Twin Cities nonprofit equipping single moms through social work, counseling, work preparation, and a microloan grant program. We believe all moms can emerge as confident women and caring moms. To get involved or support us, please visit emergetwincities.org. The 2 Emerge podcast is brought to you by Emerge Mothers Academy. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a positive review. A special thanks to our media manager, Laurel Goulson, and to Jessica Manning for our music.